Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD, brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Frederick Faith Debate is an open and honest forum for Jonathan Schweitzer and me to talk about what we want.
Yes. Yeah.
John Schweitzer is the pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm not. And the usual gist of the show is to have a small panel discussion on things of interest. But every once in a while, we'll take a break from that typical format just for us to kind of catch up, get to know each other, get to know you a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? You're looking mighty fine this morning.
You are.
So
careful. Keep your eyes on the road.
Anyway. Yeah, I wasn't talking to Jonathan when I said that, by the way.
That's right. That's who he's talking about.
So when you're in this kind of business, doing this kind of show, you get all sorts of, why won't that stop? Hold on a second. Technical difficulty.
Yeah.
I need to hit stop and then there we go.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
Putting that on my resume.
For the record, I'm watching. He knows how to work a DVD machine.
I can open and close the drawer of an electronic device.
Look at that.
That goes on my resume under skills.
Yeah. Your daughter will be proud of you.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
So when you're in this kind of business, doing this kind of show, you know, things gravitate towards you. And you probably can relate.
Yeah, which is crazy for us because that was never the case before. You know, we just, you know, repelled people.
You know, you notice something. If someone notices something in the news, you know, on the news, in the paper, on a website, an email,
they start thinking, we need to tell Troy.
Hey, yeah, I think Troy would be interested
Schweitzer
in seeing
needs
this.
To know that.
Yeah, let's throw it over to John, see what he'll do with this. You know, you just lots of stuff. And you probably get a lot of that as a pastor.
I do, yeah.
You know, hey, did you hear about this?
Yeah. Oh, all the time.
So anyway, so I'm not sure who this was sent to. Somebody at the radio station received this CD of religious programming stuff. And here, I'm just going to play a little, you know, this is...
For the record, Troy has not warned me ahead of time what kinds of things we're commenting on.
I never ever do.
Yeah,
this is designed to be a daily, I think, or perhaps weekly vignette, short form vignette that radio stations could air if they want.
Huh.
All right, so I'm just going to play a sample.
Meaning like a little devotional or something?
Yeah,
would you call it that?
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, here, it'll speak for itself. Okay, it's from people called Word of Promise.
Do I get to look at it too?
Sure. Well, here, let me give you part of it. Anyway. There you go. And in case you recognize some of the voices, see if you... Well, should I give them away now or see if you identify the voices?
Just let them... Let's see if they can...
See if you can identify these voices, and then we'll name some of them later on. Here, look at that.
So this is a different way to respond to people.
Yeah.
They can't respond back to us.
All right, so here, let's get this queued up and make it go.
Inspiration for today, narrated by Michael York.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Chapter 5, verses 14 to 16.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
I am sure you have heard it said of someone that they possess a smile that could light up a room. We hear it often, but what does it mean? It is sometimes easy to believe that your life choices affect you alone. Nothing could be further from the truth. Your life will positively or negatively affect those around you. Whether directly or indirectly, the consequences of your choices are visited upon everyone whose life touches yours. Your joy can generate joy. Your anger can ignite anger. Your love can engender love in others. Jesus refers to us as the light of the world. The light we bear is the light of God. A light that was lit within us when we first believed in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Let us live in such a way
that
all around will be illuminated by the love of God.
As it shines through our lives. Open the drawer, but I can't turn on the pause button. All right, turn this down.
Narrated by Michael.
There we go. Let's just pull that down.
Okay.
All right. A couple of things. First of all, do you recognize the narrator?
Jesus was Jim Caviezel.
Caviezel.
Caviezel, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, I think so. Jim Caviezel, okay. Who, by the way, in case that name doesn't mean anything to you, it might mean more to you, he's the actor that played the role of Jesus in Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ.
Right.
So now he's been typecast as Jesus for the rest of his acting career, which he apparently doesn't mind, and he's voicing this, the voice of Jesus in these inspiration things. The Michael York was the narrator.
Yeah.
Other people that are participating in this series, well, you didn't hear all these voices in this, but if we were to play more of them, you would hear Marissa Tomei, Richard Dreyfuss, Stacy Keach, Lou Gossett Jr., who are some other big, John Schneider, Lou Diamond Phillips, John Hurd, you know, some big names, Chris McDonald, Ernie Hudson, Luke Perry. I'm assuming all of them are Christians, but I couldn't say for sure, but I'm assuming that they're involved
in a project
like this.
He chose Dreyfuss for the Old Testament. I'm interested to know if Dreyfuss is a believer.
Oh, that he might be Jewish?
Yeah, possibly.
That could be. Because he does the quotes of Moses in this. So anyway.
Yeah.
So, first of all, general impression, what you just heard, what do you think?
General impression? Just
first general impression.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I'll give
you
my general impression.
Yeah.
Why does everything that has the stamp of Christianity on it have to be so boring?
Oh, it was boring to you?
No, it was boring. Listen to this.
Are expected of us.
It's not still going.
Let us determine then to walk in their ways. Let us meet greed with generosity. Ego with humility.
That's boring.
What do you want? Like electric guitars in the background?
Well, a little excitement for Michael York. Get that man a cup of coffee. Listen to this.
And to be loved.
Inspiration for today. Narrated by
All right,
Michael
wait a minute. Okay, well, that's the end of that.
No. Anything that is like quote unquote inspirational is this soft flowing. That's even true like with the New Age religions. You know, they get into the soft voice.
Who made that decision?
Everything.
Why wasn't I consulted?
Because, you know, it's like this Buddhist New Age kind of a thing. You know, nobody's a fiery Billy Sunday or Finney, Charles Finney anymore. Nobody's fiery like that. Even Paul was pretty fiery. You know, but now the order of the day is that if it's inspirational, then, you
bring
know.
Back the waiting bench. I'm telling you.
The waiting bench, you're like, throw everybody off. That's something that Finney used
Charles
to put
Finney
out there.
Charles Finney did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For those people that looked like they were about ready to give their lives to Christ, he'd make them wait on this bench.
You know, I'm not, obviously, I don't think that, you know, religion should be presented.
For the record, Troy, I think you're more exciting than this was.
Yeah?
I do, yeah.
Well, that's
like
a backhanded compliment. Thank you very much.
See? I tried, though. On the air, no less. Your wife, I bet, thinks you're more exciting than these guys.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'd have to ask her to be sure.
Right, yeah.
I'm a pretty boring
Your
guy.
Your daughter might not, but.
But, I mean, I host a show called The Frederick Faith Debate. How exciting can I really be?
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Takes a certain time, right? So, all of you guys listening out there.
Obviously, the motivation behind this here. Let's listen again for a minute.
For when hope is lost, the eye is darkened, and the spark in the soul grows cold.
It's supposed to feel peaceful while it's bringing you peace.
Yeah, no, but the point.
That's the point.
No, but the motivation behind this was sent to a secular radio station, a non-religious radio station that only has about an hour's worth of religious programming on it all week long. There's 168 hours in the week, and only one of them is religious programming. This vignette was designed for a commercial secular radio station to put on its air. Why would they want this put on the air? Because they want to reach out to people and share the Christian faith. Obviously, there's some sort of a motivation there, right? So why would you package it in such a boring? Listen to this.
Inspiration for today, narrated by Michael York.
Even that guy's boring. I don't even know who he is.
Yes.
Why would you package it that way? This is, you know, I don't want to be a Christianity involved in Christianity because Christians, they're boring. They never have any fun.
Yeah, but you got to realize, Troy, that.
I got to realize.
Not everybody. Yes, you do. You and everybody needs to watch Troy as you're listening to him as he realizes this, that there are large portions of the body of Christ whose lives have been exciting enough because of the pain of sin in their lives that all they want is peace and to be, you know, to have a nice church to go sit in, you know, and to come to a place of.
No. Just be quiet for a second and listen to this again. You're not listening to
We act as though our thought life is somehow disconnected from our area of responsibility.
Oh, come on.
He's Irish. What is he?
I don't know, but he's horrible.
He might even be.
He's not horrible.
Yes.
Michael York
not horrible.
Is great, and he does exactly what I'm sure the people who produced this asked of him.
Right. Well, now you got to go.
He does a great job doing what they asked him to do. He's a fantastic voice actor, a fantastic actor in general. He's got a fantastic accent thing going on. But the whole concept is boring. If you were not a believer already, it might be hard for you to try to relate to this because you were born in a Christian family. You're not already a believer, all right?
No.
And then you hear this, and you're like, oh, you know what? I should have had a V8 and become a Christian because, by golly, that sounds like it's for me.
Yeah, but you're talking style points. That's all you're talking.
Yes, I am. Well, plus,
style points aren't going to bring people to Christ.
But the other thing, it's not
what's
just
going to bring people to
not,
Christ
no.
or, you know, any kind of a change is going to be a deep internal content thing where they get hit in the heart with a truth and it sets them free. That's what's going to draw them, not the style.
Okay, well, this is missing on that point, too.
It is?
Yeah.
Wasn't he saying that for all those that are in Christ Jesus? I didn't feel like you went long enough. At first, I thought it was just going to kind of be this new age. We all have light within us. Everybody on the earth, you know.
Yeah, he does. He says that.
But then he says, for those who are in Christ Jesus. He said that right when you were turning it off, but you were caught up in your style points.
Okay, we got to go back.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let's go back. I got to listen to the whole. I'm not listening to the whole thing again.
Okay.
It was toward the end.
And you don't
right?
know how to fast forward that thing either.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew.
Hold on a second. Let me
chapter
okay,
five,
turn it on so that everybody
verses
can see. 14
to 16.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand.
10 seconds.
Yeah, what's the context there?
Yeah, the context is a Sermon on the Mount.
And who is Jesus talking to?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We got to turn it back on.
See your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
I am sure you have heard it said of someone that they possess a smile that could light up a room. We hear it often, but what does it mean? It is sometimes easy to believe that your life choices affect you.
Okay, it's like 7 seconds ahead. I'm sorry to everybody that you have to listen to this whole thing again.
See, it is boring.
Your life will positively or negatively affect
those around you. Hit it again. It's coming up.
Sorry, here it goes.
Whether directly or indirectly, the consequences of your choices are visited upon everyone whose life touches yours. Your joy can generate joy. Your anger can ignite anger. Your love can engender love in others. Jesus refers to us as the light of the world.
Who's us?
The light we bear is the light of God, a light that was lit within us when we first believed in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God.
Okay. So it does say it.
So he does say it.
Right. But
I'll give him a pass
because I was watching for that. That's why I didn't have an initial response because I was looking for content. You were looking for style. Did I just say that to you
well,
on the air?
I am a stylish
You are.
Individual.
Clearly that is the case.
I was so distracted by the
boredom,
the moroseness of the delivery that I missed the point that he went on to say those who accept Jesus.
It
so
is
I'll
true.
Give him
it
the benefit
true, though,
on that,
that Christ
one.
So, isn't actually, I mean, you can pick a theological bone there because he says for those who are in Christ Jesus, but that's not actually true. What he's saying is that what makes you a light set on a hill is when you live by the fullness of the Sermon on the Mount. That the light can lose its light if you don't live by it.
Aha! See, so they are theologically suspect.
You got them. Burn them at the stake.
We heard that same one like five times.
We
it felt
did.
Like.
Yes, we did.
But here, here's a sample of some other voice, maybe.
Which come naturally to children.
This Michael York
children
is like always on this thing.
Without guile. Teachable and free of
the tyranny. That's because he's got this neat little, you know, accent.
Here, I'm going to listen to him in the background just a little bit until somebody else is talking so you can hear somebody other than Jim Caviezel.
Okay, so have you ever listened to the Bible on CD?
That's boring, too.
Right? Oh, really? Have you? I mean,
the way they read it, it's so boring.
What do you want them to be like? And God said, you can go! You know,
why
you
not?
Want? You want him yelling the whole time?
Not the whole time, but when appropriate, why
like
not?
Burn you out or something?
No.
Because content, you want the content not to be distracted by everything else.
No, but if somebody says, you know, if the context is, let's say, you know, let's say somebody was going to be reading a narrative about the history of your parenting. All right. And there's a moment when you were really, you know, given a scolding to one of your young ones, but they probably didn't deserve because they're charming little men. But you being the mean-spirited father that I'm sure that you must be.
Yep, go ahead.
Because you're one of these morose, boring, mean-spirited Christians. You know, you're laying it into him saying, you are never going to do that again or else. And then the person who reads this, you are never going to do that again or else.
No, well, I mean, if you're the God voice, you know, it's like really powerful, you know. You like feel it in your gut. If you got a good base on your system, you know, they, you know, there's all experience.
Let's talk about Jesus. It's still Michael York. I can't find a spot on this thing when it's not Michael York.
All right. So what I want you to do is I want you to pull your Bible out. Pick a passage, and I want you to read it in a way that would be the right style for that. Okay? I get to pick. Okay, you ready for this?
Proverbs, I have my Bible on me.
I got one right here. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 16. I want you to read this with the right style right here. Are you ready for this?
Okay, I'll try. What is this? Yeah. Hold
Proverbs
on a second.
Chapter 11, verse 16.
Yeah, the Proverbs are hard to read.
Well, that's my point, because it's all about content. It's not about style.
But this isn't.
Okay. So wait, are you saying that you can't do that?
For she was 12 years old.
Wait, who's this talking?
And they were overcome with great amazement.
It is rarely thought of.
We only caught a couple words.
What voice was that? Yeah, and I heard a baby in the background. That was like drama.
That was probably
the loss of hope is akin to death. For when hope
the
is
woman's
John Heard, maybe?
The eye is darkened,
was
Luke, and the
was
spark
that Luke Perry?
In the soul.
Well, it might have been Marisa Tomei with
no, that was
Mary
a
Magdalene,
man's voice, I think. Anyway, we're getting a little bit distracted here. Obviously, Proverbs, which is just a bunch of, like, you know, short little
So is there a way to do that or not? Do you want to give up on those?
I mean, give up on those.
I mean, do you think there's a way to stylistically present those?
Oh, there
in a
might
way
be.
That
sure.
Could be
there
gripping.
Might be. There
okay.
could be. I
okay,
don't know.
But you don't want to try it.
Could set up the music. some castanets going on.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you got all your Latino friends, but you don't have any, you know, any of your African American friends. All right. Let me go to...
I will grant you that this Word of Promise inspiration for today thing has its audience. And for those
but not
who
you.
Are into it,
yeah.
Yes, it's peaceful, it's serene, it's how it should be. That is a very minuscule minority of the general population, and this was sent to a secular radio station as an outreach program. Okay. This isn't going to inspire anybody to want to check it out. I'm not going to read the Bible. It sounds boring.
Coming out in 6 months, Troy Skinner's reading of the Bible, stylistically very attractive.
Yes.
Set for a pop audience.
Why not? You're the pastor of a charismatic church, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I should put that on my...
with a rock band.
On my website. That's right. That's
with
right.
a drum set and everything.
That's right. So...
You should be with me on this one.
No, well, I think it's possible. I think there's something to be said, though. If I'm looking to
our friend
meditate,
John Armstrong or Peter Kemeny from the more traditional Presbyterian model of worship and
should
things,
like this.
Well, they would be. I would be expect a little bit. No, but I'm saying, I would expect them to say, hey, you know what, Troy, you're just being. Troy, and we love you for that. But you know, there's a lot to be said for, and they would probably talk me off of the ledge that I'm on. But you, I'm shocked.
You thought that I was going to be different, but it's not true. Underneath, we're all the same.
All you pastors are alike.
That's right. Style is only skin deep, but underneath, we're all about content.
So I can't get you to admit that that's boring.
Would I ever listen to that for any length of time? Never.
See?
I never would.
So there's something wrong with that, right?
Right. Well.
We're going to end right there. Thank you very much.
That's right. While I can't get any more thoughts out. No, yeah. Good. You got me.
You're listening.
I would never listen to it.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the litmus test there. Who would? And we would want to. That's really what struck me. I watch lots of stuff on video or listen to things or read books that most people would be like, you read what? You watch
What?
But
heavy,
that's so
whatever. Yeah.
Boring. It's right. so dry. And I'm like, but it's so interesting. I'm like one of those weird freakos who enjoys this sort of stuff. And I don't even like that.
No. But you're like a, you know, you're definitely a cult, like when it comes to music and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You are not a hymns guy.
No, that's true.
You like the content
like
of
the
hymns.
I like the depth of hymns, and I don't like this. I wish that we could take the hymns
and put them to
more popular style
music. There's a lot
music.
Of that. There's a lot of that out there.
I wish there was more.
Yeah.
Because the content is great.
Because you like the content.
But, you know.
You like a good story to be told in a song.
Yes, I do.
Even if you're singing it on Sunday morning.
Yes, I do.
Not just a simple little. But stylistically, that's what everything was. Simple little ditties for a while.
Yeah. I don't know what we're taking a little. By the way, you're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skidder. He's John Schweitzer, and we found a point of disagreement today.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm right. What we listened to earlier on the show was boring.
Yes.
And finally, Jonathan admitted it, and I'm not going to let him back off of that agreement now that he's finally come around
to
his senses.
Because he's a stiff-necked pastor, and he's hard to change.
Yeah, but talking about the hymns thing for a second, it's fascinating to me. Those who are so staunch in the defense of the traditional hymn
right.
must not, at the expense of introducing more modern styles of music into the worship, even if you're going to take the verses of the hymn and set them to new music, a lot of people are resistant to that.
Yeah.
They must not be aware that an awful lot of those original hymn tunes were bar songs.
Yeah. They must
that
not
people
be.
Were singing about, hey, we went and got drunk and drank lots of beer. And then they changed that into, we went and got saved and gave praise to God. You know, same song, different words.
Right.
So if we can take those bar songs and make them hymns, why can't we take a rock and roll song and set it to hymn verses? Why are we so resistant
to that?
No.
There are some, obviously coming from a church where we have a band, where we have electric guitars, where we have, the full drum set going. There is arguments that are made for those kinds of things. And the argument says that that music is worldly and specifically that it brings up in people's minds sexual images or rebellious attitudes. And it is true that there's certain chords that you can put together, in a song and certain melodies that have the kind of edge to them that it's hard to argue that their peace
is there
loving.
A scriptural argument in support of that position that you've heard?
Well,
it talks about music having that sort of effect.
All worldliness or cultural things having to do with food that is sacrificed to idols or music that was previously sacrificed to idols. We know in the end that the idol is nothing. And so if you have faith, then you can eat of that kind of music. You can participate in all the technology. You can participate in all those things. But it is true that a lot of those things, at their cutting edge, when they were born and birthed, they were birthed out of, a rebellious, who cares about God, throwing everything to the wind. And so the argument is, at what point after some new thing has been birthed into rebellion, can you then turn it and redeem it for good?
Well, hasn't Christianity done that with Christmas?
Absolutely.
Easter?
You had to go there, didn't you?
Right?
You did this whole show just to get me to go there, didn't you?
No, but we sure did end up there.
You've been looking to take me there. To which I would say, yes, absolutely. The church has done that, and they have oftentimes the word is syncretized, meaning brought too much of the world in with them. But the point is, every stage of the ball game, well, why not? It's not bad in and of itself. It's not bad to have a holiday. It's not bad to sing, music that, gets us dancing. In fact, in the Old Testament, David danced in God's sight, so it's a good thing. So the argument for or against comes down to, what is that music or what does it produce in you? And if it produces, too much memory of worldliness, then it's probably bad for you. But if it produces, joy and excitement that is apropos, for things of the Lord, then, man, go for it.
Now, obviously, I really unloaded on this inspiration for today, word of promise thing. But really, it's the entire genre that I'm speaking about. You watch most of these religious Jesus movies. There are exceptions.
Yeah. Mel's the only exception at this point.
Yeah, probably. But you know, Jesus is always this soft-spoken, unemotional.
Okay, so what was he like?
Well, I don't know, but he certainly wasn't this plastic, you know, Robotron thing.
Was he meek?
You know? Well, not meek the way that the popular contemporary culture would define it.
Okay, what kind of meek would he be? Maybe you're meeker.
He'd be biblical meek
than you think that he is.
I like what I've said this to you before. I like Mel Gibson's portrayal with Jim Caviezel in The Passion of the Christ,
which makes him out to be a very handsome man. And we're told in Scripture that he had no beauty to attract us to him.
Well, it's a matter
Jim
of
Caviezel.
Caviezel.
I'm not Caviezel.
Some might find the man attractive.
I walked right into that one.
But the point is.
Does your wife find him attractive?
You know what? I haven't asked her.
Yeah, you don't.
She hasn't seen that movie. She don't.
She doesn't want to.
She has no
the intensity
interest.
Of it.
She just doesn't do that sort of thing.
Sure.
So
good.
But anyway.
Yeah.
What I was saying wasn't the physical look of the character. Although I did like the fact that the Caviezel character had a presence. Forget that he was good. There was a presence about the character. And certainly Jesus had to have had a presence about him, whether he was good-looking or not.
Yeah, like Sean Connery.
You know? Although people think Sean Connery's good-looking, too. So we're all good-looking, right? We're in the image of God, and he's a good-looking.
You are, especially on the radio. Yeah. Everybody
I'm really good-looking on the radio.
First thing in the morning.
So, but how much time we have here? I've got almost no time left.
Yes.
The point I'm trying to make is those little flashback scenes in the movie where he's a person.
Yeah.
He's smiling. He's joking with his mom. He's like a real person.
Right.
I appreciate that part of what Mel Gibson brought into that, because Jesus had to have been a real person.
Yeah.
Right?
He had to be. Yes.
Had to be. Anyway.
So I'm going to end on this show. I'm going to end agreeing with you.
Yes, you are.
Just for posterity's sake.
Just for my sanity.
Yeah.
Is that the first time? I'm not sure. Anyway, thank you for agreeing with me. Thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Listening.
Yes.
This is the Frederick Faith Debate. He's John Schweitzer from Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner from WFMD. Thanks for listening.
Thanks
to our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? God bless.